We want everybody to think well of us, and we don't like opposition, but it's what builds character. I haven't yet reached the end of my road. I may be close, but I'm not there yet. With God's help, I can and will succeed. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's what Paul said. He kept his eyes on the Lord, and he had confidence in the revelations that he had received. He didn't learn the gospel from man, did he? He had an abundance of revelations from God. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? He had so much going for him. Think he ever forgot who Jesus was after he met him on the road to Damascus? After he received all those revelations? But he was also warned of all the things that he would suffer. And he gladly suffered and bore the marks of the Lord Jesus in his body. And he endured to the end. Paul said to the Galatians, ye did run well. Ye did run well. What happened? The running in a race, Paul uses it again in the Corinthian letter, the 9th chapter. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now, there's a neat thing about this race. I'm not in competition with you. I don't care how far you go or how much you succeed, how great you are. I'm not having to compete with you. That's not that type of race. It's more like I'm on a, you know, like these races that are gauged by the click, click. Run against the clock. That's a better analogy, I think. We're all individually working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And the question is, am I going to listen to my Lord? Am I going to be submissive to Him? Am I going to do what He wants me to do? Am I going to live the way He wants me to live? And am I going to continue to the end? Paul talked about some of his co-workers, his close associates and his friends. Oh, this one, he's over at Ephesus. That one's at Dalmatia. Demas! What happened to Demas? Demas hath forsaken me and is departed to Thessalonica, having loved this present world. Now, you can't make anything else out of that but what Demas turned his back on the Lord. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We are in the world. We must participate to a degree in the affairs of this life. But like Abraham, we have no continuing city here. I would gladly leave everything I have to go to be with the Lord. I don't have anything here that's holding me. Well, maybe that's an advantage being old. My son died last fall. Frank. Some of you knew Frank. I buried my son. You should not live your children. And it's a hard thing. Our earthly association is important for here. It's important for here. Like the woman who asked, you know, the Pharisees had asked Jesus, who would be this woman's husband in eternity when seven had been her husband? You err because you know not the scriptures. My friend George knows 1 Peter 4:7. No. 4:11. I'm sorry, I'm getting old. You know what that verse says? You need to know that verse. I mean, it's a good verse to know. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You brethren, you know, you are so blessed, you may not know it, but you are so blessed because you are in a company of people that have a devout respect for the Word of God. We let the Word of God be the standard. We allow the Word of God to lead us. We put our trust and confidence in the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, he said. We believe the Bible to mean what it says. And this is what is so amazing to me, that so many of our religious neighbors don't care what the Bible says. Like the lady up in Greentop, Missouri, talking to her neighbor, trying to teach her about baptism. And she said, the eunuch and Philip went down into the water and came up out of the water. And the woman said, no, they didn't go down into the water. Yes, they did. Look here, Acts chapter 8. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and came up out of the water. I don't know how many times she said it, but finally the neighbor said, I don't care what the Bible says, they didn't go down in the water. Well, that's what George has found among the preachers and the teachers that come into the veterans' home and try to give them some encouragement spiritually. They don't care what the Bible says. And you know, it's interesting, they always have to come up with some phrase that is not able to be documented in the Word of God. And one of the things they keep throwing up at George is, well, you people believe in the work doctrine. Oh boy, you have to, oh no, we don't believe in the work doctrine. We don't believe we can work our way to heaven. We know that we are saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is favor. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. And no matter what I do or what you do, we are not worthy of eternal life. It is by grace through faith. Faith is our response to that grace. And faith worketh by love. You have a work doctrine. You're trying to take it away from Jesus and get all the credit yourself. No, not at all. Not even a little bit. My friend George has memorized about 300 verses of Scripture. He's excelled me. I can quote quite a bit of Scripture. But this man, because he is in the veterans' home and he doesn't have anything else to do, he reads his Bible every day. He writes verses out on a card, gets them laminated so they don't get dirty. Boop-a-doop-doop. Memorize that verse. Keeps testing himself. Every time he leaves his room, he grabs 12 cards and puts them in his pocket, and he goes down the hall looking at his cards. And when he meets workers in the home, and they love George there, hey, did you ever see this before? And he read a verse of Scripture. And they get amused at him. Some people, they get on and say, George, get yourself a life. He's got one. And they don't know it. He is sociable. And he does socialize. But he doesn't want to play bingo. He used to play pitch all day long. He doesn't want to play pitch. Not that he doesn't play pitch occasionally, but it isn't his life anymore. Anyway, So he likes verses like Hebrews chapter 4, and I like chapter 4 in Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse chapter 4, but like Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Now, I hate to say this, but it's in the Bible, so let's just say it anyway. Let us therefore labor that we may enter into that rest. Oh, you mean it's something we have to do? He goes to Arkansas. Preacher gets up and preaches. He says, you're saved. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to pray. You don't have to do anything. In fact, I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. He came back and told me that, and I said, what? It's what the preacher said. Because I gave my heart to Jesus, bam, I'm saved and I can't be lost. Is that what the Bible says? And this is what George, it's just so exciting to see that he keeps coming back and saying, I like this verse. I like this verse. Hey, how about this verse, Ken? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life that fadeth not away. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And sit down with me on my throne as I overcame and am sat down on my Father's throne. What does that mean? Well, I don't know, George, but it doesn't mean what it says. Yes, it does. It means exactly what it says. There's a one little word in the New Testament that we all ought to think about. And that's the little word, if. That's a very interesting little word. There's so many things in the New Testament that are contingent upon an if. You can make a real sermon out of that. Okay, let me end this with some thoughts. I guess because I didn't get any hands raised, I'm going to assume that you have all joined the race. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And on the day of Pentecost, they were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children, to as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 says, the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. I could talk all afternoon about this, but you enter Christ by going through a gate. Jesus said it was a straight gate. It is the terms of forgiveness that the Lord has laid down through his Son and his apostles. That day, 3,000 Jews believed the message of Peter, crying out, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're told how to have the remission of sins. And when they obeyed that form of doctrine, they were added to the apostles, to the nucleus of the new church. And then the Lord continued to add more day by day by day. And those that were added committed themselves to continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine. Have you ever done that? Are you living that way today? I am committed to the apostle doctrine. That's why I have fellowship. That's why I break bread. That's why I pray. My life is now directed by the New Testament, the covenant of Jesus Christ, the teaching of his apostles. Somebody says, I don't care what the apostle Paul said. Oh. Do you remember how that Paul said, if any man among you seemeth to be spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So I take what Paul said pretty serious. Because every time I open my Bible, it still says it. So I've entered the race. I've gone through the gate. But remember, the gate is straight and the way is narrow. You ever run a race? Some races, well, all kinds of races, but some of them have lanes. You got to stay in the right lane. If a man runs the race, he's got to run the race lawfully according to the parameters of the race. We must strive lawfully. Neat thing about this race is we're not competing with one another, so we get to help one another, encourage one another. You ever see a bunch of cars? You ever hear of drafting? Boy, them cars, you'll sneak up right behind another car and they'll draft behind that car. And they can save gasoline, get along good by drafting this car, and then when their opportunity comes, they'll go out around it and go on. And we help each other. We need each other. I am greatly encouraged to see all of you here today, to see faces I haven't seen in a year at least. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just all stay here? But it wouldn't benefit the kingdom very good. I need to be at Warrensburg. I found a place where I'm needed, so I need to be there. You have a place where you're needed, you need to be there. And so we're going to scatter out and let our light shine, and we're going to be an influence wherever we go. Be an example of the believers. We must learn to cast off the excess weight. How bad do you want to win this race? Now remember, you're not competing with me, but you are running against Satan. He doesn't want you to win. And he's going to entice you. He's going to get you involved in things that turn your attention away from why you're here and where you want to end up. And I've seen people like Demas who loved this present world and got involved in things that destroyed their future. And most of all, I don't quit. I will not quit. Whatever I lose, I'll just lose that I might gain Christ. I have not attained to the resurrection yet. I have not seen Jesus yet. I'm walking totally by faith, but not blind faith. I believe God. I believe the Bible. I believe we will all stand before Christ and give an answer for how we have lived. We need to learn to be like Jesus. He was committed. He had all these great qualities we've heard about this week. This compassion, this caring for one another. We're supposed to be like that, aren't we? If I can help you, you can count on me. You can call on me. I'm not too busy to be concerned with what you need if I can help you. For whatever I do for you, I'm doing for my master. And when I go to work in the morning, I ask the Lord, help me, Lord, to be a good employee today. That I don't bring any reproach upon you and your mission and your message. Help me to be an example of the believer. Let me speak words that edify. When Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. You need to be careful how you talk. Told my boss one day, I said, you know, it says that every idle word that man shall speak, he will give account of in the day of judgment. What do you suppose the answer I got was? Oh, what's an idle word? She knew what I was talking about, however. And she recognized that there aren't very many of us where I work that don't cuss like a trooper. We have clean speech because the master wants us to imitate and reflect his holiness. I'll close with Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning in verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Your confidence. I know this is right. Which hath a great recompense of reward. Do you know what heaven's going to be like? I haven't seen it. I seriously doubt it's going to be a four-square city with silver or gold and silver and jewels and all that. He paints a picture using the things that are of this world that are precious. Things that men would strive for and give up everything for here. Paints this picture because he couldn't describe it for us. He can't even tell us what we're going to look like. 1 John 3 and 1, we know not what we shall be, but we know we shall be like him. We will see him as he is. How is he? I don't know. Never seen him yet. But I believe in him with all my heart. You have need of patience or endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Maybe at morning, maybe at midnight, maybe at noon, and will be somewhere. Jesus is coming again. Why do I know that? Because he said so. And I believe God. Now the justified shall live because of their faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I believe God. Jesus said, count the cost. Which of you, now don't tell everybody that I have a garage started and not completed. Last fall I poured a foundation, put some anchor bolts in it and put the plate on it. I'm ready to frame, but it isn't framed yet. People drive into my yard, oh, what you building? You haven't built that yet? Jesus said in Luke, which of you intending to build a house does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to build it? Have you counted the cost? Do you realize what's involved in discipleship? It's easy this afternoon. It's not so easy tomorrow at work, especially if you have some that are antagonistic towards you because you make them uncomfortable because you won't run to the same excessive riot. You won't get involved in all the things that they like to do. And for some reason, like the guy that doesn't smoke, everybody wants him to smoke. Isn't that crazy? Everybody that does smoke wishes they could quit. But here's a guy that doesn't smoke and they want him to start. Salt is good. And this follows what Jesus was saying about counting the cost. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its savor, what good is it? Wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. You are the salt of the earth. You have an influence. People are reading you every day. Honor your Lord. Do not deny him by your works, by your words, or by your attitudes. And don't ever get in the idea that it's time to retire. There's no discharge in this war. As long as you have life, you have something to offer. So don't expect to coast over the finish line. I'm going to die with my shoes on. I guess. I'm not going to rest out. I'm going to wear out. That's the attitude we should have. Here I am, Lord. Help me to finish my race. Let's stand and sing an invitation song and encourage any who might be subject to it to put on the Lord and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust.